So, Lucas, I'm not happy with you nicking my gimmick. What's all this about a blue screen? What's that going on?
I'm hoping, if I can edit this correctly, there will be no blue screen. I don't know.
In which case, that's not my gimmick, because I never use the blue/green screen in any of the content we made. That was the joke. But it's Lucas, you've returned from your long and perilous journey of moving house.
From Liverpool to Liverpool, yes.
Well, Liverpool's big. There's a lot to move. You had literally your entire life. Like, you moved into your last place. It was unfurnished, so you had to not only move yourself, your missus, your dogs, all your furniture. You had to get set up bills, presumably the internet, which is why we were able to record this.
Mm-hmm.
So what's been the biggest ball ache then so far?
God. I mean, the biggest ball ache, I think, will be the fact that, like, the decoration everywhere is, like, real old school patterned wallpapers and stuff. It's like there's a lot of wallpapers to take down, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I was so happy when I moved into this place, and it had been previously rented, so it had had the landlord special done before the person moved out, of just paint everything plain white. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen a brief glimpse of the wallpaper, and it's not even like, oh, it's just green wallpaper. It's like, it's patterned wallpaper.
It's every room has got different clashing patterned wallpapers as well. And they're really, really, like, big, bright, colourful ones. Like, oh, God. Oh, but it's only wallpaper, you know. We can get rid of it.
Yeah, it's fine. You can, but Lucas has now moved, but we are still in the process of just behind the scenes here on Wiki Weekends. Things are not, like, you know, back to the, you know, they're not running as nicely and as cleanly as we'd like. So this is like the last week. Hopefully we're going to have that. And from next week onwards, the podcast will be recorded live. Anyone who enjoys listening to it and watching it recorded live.
But I'm hoping so, yeah. Things are also a bit up in the air with, like, some medical stuff for me at the moment. So just, like, I don't know what's going on. As always, the NHS is providing absolutely useless service, so, you know.
But it is free, and, you know, that's private, so we won't pry, you know, hence the term, private. And instead, we'll move swiftly on to explain the format. So this is Wiki Weekdays, the series where myself, your host, this one, Carl Smallwood, and my co-host, Lucas Holland.
Hi.
We scour the lengths and breadths of the internet for wikis on subjects we're interested in, present them to one another to see what kind of conversation arises as we go through them. And then we like to pit each wiki against the other, you know, deathmatch style, and let you, our audience, decide which wiki won this week. Annoyingly, we can't really, you know, tell you which wiki won last week because we're recording this remotely ahead of time, so that's kind of out the window gimmick-wise, but it should hopefully return next week, so you can certainly go vote at the Discord you can find below now, and it should, from next week, you know, me and Lucas sat gloating horribly if one of us wins.
I've just been, the law thing's just been up in the air all over the place, so I've just been like, you know, sometimes literally just on mobile data that is barely loading an image, and it's just been a bit of a mess. So hopefully we can start making our way back onto the steady tracks from here.
The thing is, though, we've not missed a single upload date.
Not yet.
And we've still been able to maintain... Well, no, you know, knock on wood.
Mm-hmm.
So far, we've not missed a single upload date. So us mentioning this is pretty pointless because, for the most part, it has not been something that people would notice. Like, the only thing that we'd be able to notice is just slight variations in the background of videos. Like, when you were just slowly losing all of your furniture.
Or, like, today, I'm aware... I'm going to do my best with the audio, but I'm aware it's going to be a little bit echoier than usual because, like, this room has zero soft things in it and I haven't been able to soundproof yet.
Yeah, you've not got these squares, these soundproofing squares that every content creator online just buys off Amazon and just fucking salivates to the wall.
Well, that's the thing,
right?
Or if
you mean, I just stack them. I stack them very gently, one on top of each other, and every time there's a gust of wind, they all blow over, and I look at them and go, maybe I should attach these somehow. Nah, just stack them back up.
Like, we want to decorate the walls differently first, so, like, haven't been able to put anything on the walls, and just, like, I'm going to have to figure out a temporary solution.
Yeah.
But haven't figured that out yet.
Just get really thick wallpaper. Get soundproof wallpaper.
That probably exists nowadays, right?
It probably does. There's something. You know, you can get like green screen wallpaper and all that good stuff. You do want to turn that room into your permanent recording space. But yes, I guess the only thing, other thing to mention, Lucas, is the pest of the week, and it's Tom.
Simply
Tom. So talk to us about the pet of the week, Lucas. Why'd you pick this one?
Well, Tom got the most votes since we last recorded in Discord. So this just got the most reactions, the most love on our Discord since we last recorded. And yeah, just all it said was just a picture of this lovely cat, Tom. And all it just said as a descriptor was Tom, which I respect. So. And I will get up the full image here for the video watchers of Tom, just because like it's cropped to fit in the thing, but it is like a very vertical photo usually.
That cat is not on that sofa. That cat is like halfway. I'd be so tempted to like grab
it. Tom is just the closest little nudge to getting knocked off that seat.
Would slide off that sofa, like the proper stiff legs. But you know what? It's like sometimes you look at a cat or a dog and they're lying there. It's like, is that really comfortable?
It looks like rigor mortis is setting at that point.
It's like when I used to take my dog for a walk. My old dog. And it's like, it would pull because he got excited. We tried our best to trip, but it's like, you know, we were only little.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember like walking my dog and just it would pull on the chain. The entire time, like,
yeah.
I just remember thinking, walk slower. Just a little bit, right?
Just a tad. But yeah, that is Tom. So congratulations to Tom. I presume it's Tom. All it said underneath the image was Tom.
I respect that though. Just a picture of this cat that's like just doing, like just styling on us, doing a JoJo pose.
Tom. It is. But congratulations, Tom, win pet of the week.
And feel free to submit your own pets of the week. And just like, you know what? Try and think of a caption more just enigmatic and threatening than Tom.
I was going to say,
that conjures more aura.
That's the thing where I love the ones where it's like, oh, like Minnie last week, where it's like, oh, Minnie was like losing the shit as this picture was taken. Like, here's what was going on. But sometimes it's just the threatening aura of just the word Tom.
And that's the word, aura. Just like, there's that great Twitter account of just cats with powerful auras, which is a fantastic follow for anyone who's still on that shitscape. But Lucas, let's crack straight on this week, because I know that you are very busy. I know that the moment this recording ends, that blue screen's coming down and you're going to go straight to scraping wallpaper off the wall, presumably. You've got a long night evening ahead of you. So what wiki did you bring for this week, Monfra?
Well, I decided to bring a character from a game series that does indeed have a powerful aura.
And that character or series is?
That character is Lance from the Pokemon series.
So, hell yeah. The Dragon Master himself. Also, the cheater. That's the thing everyone knows about Lance, right? He's got the weird the Dragonite that is illegal.
Yeah, because it's like not high enough level to become a Dragonite yet. Because it's like level 50 or something.
And I always wondered why they never made that a gimmick.
Mm.
Do you know the same way like Pokemon have like different natures and stuff like that? Why have they never thought of like this Pokemon evolves at around level 36? And just have some that evolve quicker, some that evolve less.
It's like, it evolves in its like 30s, but depending on how strong a bond you've got with your Pokemon, or if they've just taken down like a really strong enemy or something, maybe there's a chance for them to like evolve early or something like.
Yeah, remember there was that system in one of the Pokemon games where if your Pokemon had a good, it liked you enough, it could occasionally do like critical hits or survive what would otherwise be a knockout blow.
I think they actually have kept that into this date from Pokemon X and Y onwards. So in Pokemon X and Y, you had a specific affection stat, which where you did like, you know, Pokemon ME interactions with your Pokemon. Like feed them and stroke them and stuff. But I think even when they've taken those features out, just having a stronger bond with your Pokemon means that in like the regular story mode and stuff, it can mean that your Pokemon just like, gets a critical hit because it wanted to be praised or something like that.
Yes. I just thought, why canonize that one of the weirder things about Lance of him having an impossible Dragonite? Mm-hmm. Like, no, just he had a really close connection to one of his Pokemon and it evolved early.
Yeah, like it would be cool to have the story of how that Dragonair just pushed itself to evolve early or something.
Yeah. Because there's a bunch of stuff like that in like the early games and the anime.
Loads of it in the anime, right?
Yeah. There's like that kid who has like, what, the sand shrew that can swim. He's like, oh, well, I thought sand shrew is weak to water, not my sand shrew.
You're just a fucking dickhead that doesn't train his Pokemon properly, are
you? Yeah.
Is that me? I've been drowning this sand shrew for months.
That's what they just. I always thought they'd be interesting if they could maybe introduce elements similar to that into the games, but you know, you probably would make it way. There's always so many systems in those games interacting with one another. Adding another one on top would just be a nightmare. But tell me about Lance.
Well, Lance, we do have a quote from Lance here from Gold, Silver, and Crystal.
Fuck you. Fuck you, three Dragonites.
It's not. Lance says, it's over, but it's an odd feeling. I'm not angry that I lost. In fact, I feel happy. Happy that I witnessed the rise of a great new champion.
Reminder, he's saying this to an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
That's got to be gutty, though. He's called, like, Lance, the Dragon Master. He's spent his entire fucking lifetime training these dragons. And an 11-year-old who's like, oh, I'd make my Pokemon just beat 15 Pidgeys.
Yeah, and it doesn't have any biographical information in the sense of just his age or height or anything. It's just he is a male and presumed to be an adult.
Thing is, he should just say, like, age, dragon. Like, blood type, dragon. Light, dragon.
It does say on other information, the only other information we have about him is specialist type, dragon.
The weirdest thing as well is, like, in that first game, there was only one dragon type Pokemon.
Or one is the dragon family master of dragons, right? Yeah.
Yeah, like Dragonair, Dratini, and Dragonite. So I'm the dragon master, there's one dragon type.
Yeah, but he's the master of that dragon.
He's the master of that one type. Realistically, he should be called the Dragonite trainer, right?
Well, and then, what, he pulls out a Gyarados or two as well in the first game, I think?
Yep. I like the argument that he should be a flying type, because Dragonite's got flying typing, as does Gyarados.
Yeah, yeah.
There's more argument for him being a flying type trainer than there is a dragon trainer, because he has more flying type Pokemon than dragon Pokemon.
And it's odd, because for me at least, I always got confused with Lance. I always forgot that in Red, Blue, and Yellow, Lance is not the champion, because the first ones that I completed were the Gen 2 I completed. Crystal was the first Pokemon game I finished, because I had Pokemon Red, I had Pokemon Yellow. I just, you know, I was probably about 5 when I played those, didn't finish them, completed Crystal, and he was the champion in Gen 2.
Yep.
So I always kind of forgot that Lance actually isn't champion in Gen 1, that's your rival, whereas yes, Lance is the 4th of the Elite Four.
He also has the best theme.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we can't not talk about his fucking theme song, man.
Like,
just champion Lance's theme. Like, dun, dun, dun. Oh, no, it's happening. Not again.
I love the champion battle themes. And obviously, the moment we mention the champion battle theme, the first one that everyone's going to mention is just like, oh, Cynthia's theme. And it's like, okay, yeah, I love Cynthia's theme. It's fantastic. But Lance's goes pretty hard as well.
I prefer Lance's theme. But, you know, because I'm not a older fan of the series.
Mm-hmm.
So of course I'm going to have a nostalgia for the, like, you know, the one that I remember most.
So it's like, it's Lance's theme, then there's Red's theme as well, and just
Red's theme.
Both of those in Gen 2, just, oh, they hit so hard. Oh, but Lance is a recurring character in Pokemon, and he is a user of Dragon types, as well as standing as the Elite Four,
Lucas has not recorded a video for a while. Cutting some slack.
It's fine. As well as standing as the final Elite Four member in Red, Blue, and their remakes, and in Pokemon Gold, Silver, and Crystal in their remakes, he stands as the champion of the Pokemon League.
Yeah, and who is your favourite Elite Four member?
Ooh.
There's a few. It's like Lance is a pretty good member of the Elite Four. I've always been a fan of Koga.
Are you talking, like, original couple of
just
games,
of any of the Elite Four members.
Okay.
Like, isn't Koga a member of the Elite Four in, like,
Gen 2.
Gold and Silver? Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
I like the idea that he got promoted, because I like that little bit of storytelling of he got promoted from the Poison-type gym leader to the leader, and then he's, like,
his daughter
is in charge of the Poison-type gym.
The Poison-type gym leader, yeah, which is a really cool way of doing it, right? Yeah.
Nice bit of story. Like, yeah, he was that good a fucking gym leader that he became a member of the Elite Four.
Yeah, and
presumably when Agatha retired, because she was the ghost type and she was fucking old.
Yeah.
So she presumably retired and was replaced by Koga.
And I really like one of those, you know, few things that changes between them. A lot of the time it's like, oh, go fight Brock again in Pewter, go fight Misty again in Cerulean, where it's like, no, Koga got promoted into Elite Four, that's really cool.
Yep, and it's just his daughter's in charge, and she's got a chip on her shoulder because everyone's comparing her to her dad.
Mm-hmm. And I can't actually remember, like, the individuals of the Elite Fours, because it's, like, over a few games.
There's a lot.
But, like, in terms of my favourite Elite Fours to go through, I really like the Black and White 2 on Pokemon X and Y Elite Four, like, rooms that you go in, because, like, in Black and White and Black and White 2, they're themed really well. And then in X and Y, I really like just going through the Elite Four, because all four of them go into those different rooms where, like, you know, you'll go into, like, the steel type and the two swords fall down, or you go into, like, the dragon room and there's a giant dragon statue.
Which is a super baller way of doing it. And are you not a fan of Scarlet and Violet then, where the Elite Four, who you never met, just you walk, they fight, challenge you one after the other in a completely featureless white room.
They fight you in, like, the fucking Street Fighter training stage. It's so fucking stupid.
It's such a bad Elite Four. It's the worst. It's worse than the Elite Four in the first game. Because at least in the first game, you go into a new room.
Mm-hmm.
Each member of the Elite Four, and it feels like a gauntlet.
And, like, they hardly, you know, it's not even really the problem I have is that they don't build them up, because they don't really build them up in a lot of the games, to be honest. But
it's more they talk about them, that they're seen as, like, the champions. Or, like, you don't get introduced to them, but people talk about them as the greatest trainers in the region. And in Scarlet and Violet, one of them is a trainer you already beat who turns up on his day off.
Yeah.
It was like, I work two jobs and one of them's the Elite Four.
Look, we all love Larry. We can't take Larry slander, but
like,
a man that just doesn't give a fuck and is getting on with his two job life.
Yeah, the Salary Man.
But yeah, like, the father is, I already beat this guy.
Yep.
And then,
and they don't have a unique
there's
theme
a child
song.
And a teacher, and it's like, great, cool.
Also, the teacher doesn't use their Pokemon in an interesting way. They have, like, the Glimmit, which has the ability of when it's hit, it puts toxic spikes up, and she uses it last.
Oh, no,
it's
that's like, not what? The teacher. That's... She is the champion. I'm talking
it's
about,
like, the champion.
It's, like, the dragon guy, who I think is just one of the teachers, right? And I actually think that the tournament that you do at the school features way more cool and interesting characters than the Elite Four does in that game.
Yeah, because all the teachers have their own fighting style and
types and they also
and
just
affinities.
Have much better character designs.
Yes.
And some like of the gym teacher. Members as well, like some of the gym leaders have a really cool distinct styles and designs and stuff, and then they also just are way cooler than the Elite Four in that game.
Yep.
So many problems with Scarlet and
Violet. They just don't have what we mentioned earlier, aura.
No, they don't.
They have no aura. They've got no swag.
And it's really surprising because as many problems as I've got with Sword and Shield, again, like all of the trainers that you fight in Sword and Shield, they're really well designed as well.
Except for Leon.
Well, yeah. The
Leon's design fucking sucks.
I don't mind Leon's guy who has, like, design. The sword, I think it's more the fact that it's like relying on fucking Charizard as his ace. Yeah. It's like, ugh.
Then there's the guy who has the sword penis on his head, which is funny. Because it's so bad, it goes all the way around to being funny, so I don't mind it.
I mean, but those two are like those weird twins. They're not like the proper...
They're designed to be dickheads,
Elite Four or anything, yeah.
But anyway, in that regards, any other trainers then? Because I know it was like, you mentioned like Cynthia. Is she a champion?
Cynthia's the champion of Gen 4.
Cynthia's
a
champion.
Yeah.
And then she randomly rocks up in one of the games, right? She's in the house. You walk in, she's there.
Yeah.
Like, oh, God, like, no, she was in my house.
In, like, either Black and White or Black and White 2 or both, you just walk into a house in one of the cities and Cynthia's
she's
just stood there waiting. It's like, oh, no, no.
Was there any, like, favourite trainers that you have? I've been a big fan of... oh, God, who is it now? The fighting type gym leader from the first game. This is the idea that he got fired for sucking ass.
Oh, yeah, like the gym that is no longer a gym because...
They got,
like,
demoted.
They got demoted from being a proper gym because, what's her name? Sabrina. Comes in and just wins with the psychic type advantage and takes over.
And again, the fact that never really got explored in later games, the idea that gyms Because that's something that's kind of hinted at throughout the Pokemon series of there's not just 8 gyms in a region. They're just the ones that are recognized by the league.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that joke, isn't there? Like, Gary Oak has, like, more badgers than Ash does, and some of them are from gyms. It's like, I just presume there's, like, in small podunk towns that are smaller and shittier than Pallet Town, they probably have a local gym that you can go in.
Yeah, I like the idea that there's actually tons of gyms, but just you happen to go to 8 certain ones and you only need 8 to get into the Elite Four.
Yeah. There are presumably other places you could go, like small towns on the, like, you know, on the way on along a route.
And I'm just having a quick look through, like, other Elite Fours to see if there's, like, some of my favourites that I can point out.
It's more just the designs, right? Just, like, it's all, like, Pokemon generally has very strong designs.
It does, yeah. And one that I did really enjoy is in Alola, there's Kahili, who is the Flying-type Elite Four member, who is just the golf player.
Oh, yeah. And he's like, he's just dressed for golf. And it's like, yeah. Well, yeah, because his birds just go get his they get his golf balls for him.
But yeah, like, she's just got a really cool design.
I remember them wearing, like, the full golf outfit. I can't remember, like, the gym leader themselves.
Yeah. And then, to be fair, I mean, Gen 3's got pretty cool ones. Like, just, I really like just the design of Drake, where he's got the like, sailor trench coat, but with no shirt. And he's looking like Dante. But then, obviously, you've got, like, Steven and Wally as well in there.
Wally. Wally's great.
So I do think, going through the Elite Four members, though, I do think, for the most part, the gym leaders are more memorable than a lot of the Elite Four members.
Yeah, it's because the Elite Four, even though you probably refight them a bunch of times, the gym leaders have this whole... It's Elite Four, it's just you go fight the member of the Elite Four, whereas the gym leaders, they have fans,
mm-hmm.
right? There are people in their gym who are fans of them, and you sort of build up to them, and it feels like more of a gauntlet to get to that one particular trainer, even though, I guess, the entire game is the gauntlet to get to the Elite Four, but once you've beaten them, you move straight on.
And then
it's not like the guy on the front of the thing is like, hey...
Experience. God.
Yeah. Like, the guy at the front who's like, hey, champ in the making.
How much in those older games did you just rely on just fighting the Elite Four over and over and over
again?
It's
the only way to make money, right?
And experience, really.
Yeah, it's the only way to level up.
Yeah, God.
There was no way to consistently level up in early games.
No, and there's not really a need to, I suppose, other than wanting to get to level 100, but there was no real need to.
There's a few Pokemon that didn't learn moves like level 80. Remember that? I was like you mentioned Pokemon X. I think that's where Volcarona was introduced, and Volcarona didn't learn its best moves level 90. Which fucking sucked. It's like it learns like Fire Dance or whatever level 90. It's like that was the game as well where you earn less experience from Pokemon that were a lower level than you. It's like, oh, the fuck, don't get to level 90.
Just as much as I do think it sucks that you can't turn it off in the newer games. I think EXP All is just the way to go.
Because how many people played their first Pokemon game or their earliest Pokemon game? Where's, what's your team? Or it's a Pidgey, a level 49 Charizard. and then whatever crap I found on the street outside.
I wonder.
It must suck for like the gym leaders, right? Mm. Like Brock, it's like, okay, you got that Pokemon 5 minutes ago and it's a rat you found outside. You just come in and that rat beats his fucking well-trained snake. Well, that's the equivalent, right? When you're fighting Brock, you've probably got like at least one or two Pokemon. It's probably a Pidgey. It's probably a Rattata.
Mm-hmm.
You found a rat and a bird outside and walk in and fucking whoop his ass. That's gotta suck. Like, ego-wise, that's not feeling good, right?
Oh, no, definitely not. Like, it just... But again... I like to kind of clarify that with the headcanon of just he's using weaker Pokemon because you've not got any gym badges, right? It's
yeah,
not that Brock is a gym leader with the strongest Pokemon being like a level 12 Onix. It's just, oh, hello child with one Pokemon that you've just gotten. I'm not going to go all out on you.
I think that's pretty much been confirmed by like other media, right? Of like
the Pokemon
Golden
Origins
Silver.
Gives... that example of like, oh, how many badges have you got? okay, this is your first battle, I'll get like these two weak Pokemon out for you then.
Yeah, or like when you go back in Gold and Silver, you've got 8 gym badges, admittedly from another region, but you've still got 8 gym. It's like, okay, you beat the Elite Four in another region, you're probably pretty good.
Mm-hmm. We can use the real shit. And they've all got like level 60 Pokemon or whatever it is, yeah.
Yeah, which is not like Brock is using that level 60 Pokemon and the next kids come from Pallet Town.
Mm-hmm.
Because that'd fucking suck, right? It's that little kid from Pallet Town who's like coming in. It's like Brock's there with his tea from Gold and Silver. It's like, oh, beat my 5 level 80s.
And I'm trying to just find here like the team that he brings to the first battle.
I can tell you Lancer's team. It's Dragonite, 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 and Dragonite. There's only one fucking dragon Pokemon. There's more of an argument to be made that he's the flying type trainer than there is the Dragon-type trainer.
So I've got the list on Serebii here for the Elite Four in Gen 1. So in Generation 1, Lancer's Pokemon are Gyarados at level 58, Dragonair level 56, Dragonair level 56, Aerodactyl level 60, and Dragonite level 62. So maybe it's not Gen 1 where he's got the illegal Dragonite.
Either way, I know he has an illegal one at some point. And the thing that gets me is, this is something me and you have talked about a lot of, I hate how Pokemon, to this day, 8-9 games in, is still hamstrung by gym leaders being bound to a singular type.
Yeah.
Instead of a theme. Ooh, my camera's messed up on my end.
It has,
You still hear me?
I can still hear you, but you are frozen a little bit.
Oh, man. Well, it couldn't even freeze in a way I'm looking cool, right? God damn it. I guess I'll keep on with my point of, yeah, the fact they're not, it's always typing, never a theme. Like, for example, Lance is the Dragon Master, so he has to use Dragon Pokemon, even though he doesn't fucking use Dragon Pokemon. Why not make him the Legendary Trainer and give him Pokemon inspired by myth and legend, such as dragons?
Yeah, like
Wally
you've
being
got
the Steel Trainer, whatever.
Gyarados, the one that, yeah, like the myth of, like, the carp going up the waterfall into like the dragon gate and turn into a dragon. That's what Gyarados is based on. Like Dragonite is this like mythical dragon. You could have Arcanine, who is classified in the Pokedex as the legendary Pokemon. And then we've lost Carl, so Carl's clearly tried to sort out his camera, but I'll continue my point, I guess, of this, but like, yep, he doesn't necessarily need to have Mew or Mewtwo, but you could have, again, like Aerodactyl's a great example of, it's not legendary, but it's a fossil brought back to life. It's this Pokemon used to exist, but doesn't anymore. And clearly Carl is having a rough day of it. So yeah, Carl and my Discord just like freaked out for a minute there. But yeah, hopefully I just finished my point and then we get back to this bit. But yeah, I was just like, saying, you know, different examples of Pokemon that he would be able to use if it was more of a theme, as you say, around like
legendary
type
trainer.
Pokemon, yes.
It just feels so restrictive, even though there are 16 types, which is a lot, but when you've had 9 games,
I think
and every
like
game has 8 trainers, however many types there are, but of like 9 games, having 8 trainers, each one, there's only so many times you can have like the fighting type trainer.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess fighting type, with it being so broad and the fighting type Pokemon being some broad range or inspirations, but like there was that lady in the newest one, Scarlet Violet, who's a baker.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the bug type trainer. Why can't she be the food type trainer and have a bunch of Pokemon inspired by or related to food?
Yeah.
That'd be way more interesting. Or you mentioned there's one of the like games where there's the samurai trainer, right? And they don't have a specific set of Pokemon, but they have Pokemon that are inspired by samurai archetypes.
I think so, yeah, yeah.
And it's, why can't we have that? And it feels so weirdly limiting to not do it.
Yeah.
Especially given how many hundreds of Pokemon there are. You could very easily make a team themed around food, for example.
And that's, like, the weird thing going on here. Just, for example, Agatha, because there was so few ghost-type Pokemon, in here she's listed as poison and ghost-type.
Well, she's the ghost-type trainer, because she's based on, like, she's
meant to be the ghost-type trainer, but She's actually the poison type trainer because all five Pokemon are poison types.
Yep.
She's got a Golbat and an Arbok in there as well.
But Koga was the poison type trainer, so why couldn't they make her the spooky trainer and just give a Pokemon like based on things people are scared of, like ghosts and bats?
And then you've got Bruno, who's rock and fighting.
Yeah,
and then making the tough trainer. Lorelei, who's water and ice. And it's like, it's really weird that in Gen 1 of all gens, they made the commitment and the decision to make all of these 12 trainers commit to one type of Pokemon when...
instead of one theme.
Yeah, you get to the, like, Elite Four, and it's, oh, they're all, you know, the masters of one type, and they're all using multiple types of Pokemon.
Yeah. So, hey, I'm the ghost type trainer. The first Pokemon they sent out is a fucking Golbat. So that's not a ghost, is it? Unless it died. I always found that weird. And it's strange that with a game now having hundreds upon hundreds of Pokemon, the fact that they haven't, especially when it was so cleanly set up, like I said, one of the ones that stuck out to me is the trainer who's a baker. And they use bug types.
Yeah.
So what's got being a baker got to do with fucking bug types?
Other than you don't want bugs on your food.
Yeah. Why could she not be a baker who has Pokemon inspired by food? Or like you could tangentially relate to food.
And I do really like the fact that Lance comes back in Gen 1 and 2, but it's like, I think in the same way, like if I have a look here for like the Elite Four of just Gold and Silver.
Yes.
Lance, Gen 2 team.
And they're not that memorable, are they, the Elite Four? It's more, there's usually individual trainers that people latch on. So I said the guy who just runs the fighting type gym, I feel so bad for that dude.
Mm-hmm.
So he just talks about, yeah, just Sabrina came in and cleaned my fucking clock and I'm not a gym leader anymore. And he's got like four people who still believe.
Yeah, and like,
it's all run down. He's got like one Hitmonchan left and you just take it. And he's like, no, my Hitmonchan.
Yeah, I've just realised as well, you must be Champion Lance in a Gold and Silver is probably what you're thinking of. When we were talking about the teams earlier and stuff, of he's the dragon type leader again.
Yep.
And he's got six Pokemon and all six are flying. And he's got...
they can make him the legendary trainer. And just he only uses Pokemon inspired by legends.
Well, yeah. He has a very similar team, but he's got two level 47 Dragonites and a level 50 Dragonite. So those Dragonites should be Dragonairs.
The illegal Dragonites. Look at that, they were juicing. He's been juicing those dragons.
But he also has, as well as three Dragonites, a Gyarados, an Aerodactyl, and a Charizard. It's like, you're just a flying type trainer.
And you actually have a very, not balance, but you have a pretty
strong,
you know,
team.
Yeah, a strong team where it has there is some cohesion there in the sense that they all fly and they're all, like, you know, based on things that are inspired by legend, but you're not the dragon type trainer anymore. Half your team is not made of dragons.
They all are things that look a bit like dragons, but half of them aren't dragons.
Cool. Yeah.
It's just, it's wild. And I think even, because Gen 2 didn't add any dragons, right?
Don't think so.
I'm like, we're going to do some like quick Google, because I'm like, is there any other dragon Pokemon that was even introduced?
Don't think so, no.
That Lance could have used, because he's still to this day, even in like champion dragon type trainer of Gen 2. Oh, there was Kingdra.
He could have one of those.
So there's two dragon types in Gen 2, and he doesn't use one of them as the Dragon Master.
Is that Master of Dragons? Did he even fucking realise there's another one?
To be fair, no one realised there was another one until Gen 2.
And that's, it just feels like, you know, very limited. Like I said, there's so many neat ideas you could do for teams. Something we do when we play Pokemon. Like, you know, when we occasionally battle each other, we'll try and create teams that have some sort of theme. Like I made a farm animal team once where it's like a Mudsdale and a Rapidash and a Tauros. It's like, oh, there's like, you know, a bull with a mill tank.
And even things
that are all the same type, but you can, they're things you would find on a farm.
Are just like a little bit more vague as well. Like, oh, I often go for like, oh, here's a team of like cute Pokemon or like the beauty team and things like that. It just, you can keep it relatively vague. But yeah, as you say, if you had a food type team with a baker trainer, like it makes perfect sense. Or you have a farmer with a farm type team, like you can just make it work. And it's kind of wild that, yeah, they always decided that typing was the way to go, even on the first couple of games when they didn't have enough type Pokemon to fill out one team.
They literally didn't have enough. variety to create to the point where half their fucking like roster uses other types. Mm-hmm. Because there's not enough of the thing they're supposedly a specialist in.
But I still do think, give Lance his credit, he's very, very fucking cool.
He is. He's a great design, great song. Love mm-hmm. his cape. Love that he wears a cape.
Yeah, and it's just, I think his design in Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee is really strong, and it did throw me off for a second where just they mention, oh, he's, you know, one of the strongest Lash trainers in Gen 1, 2, and 7. And I was like, in Gen 7? Like, really? And then it's like, oh, technically, Pikachu, Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee are classed as Generation 7 games, apparently.
It just rocks up in that, right?
And they are games where I kind of forget they exist. It's like, I really like the Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee remakes a lot more than a lot of people seem to, like, because they introduced a couple of Pokemon Go elements and simplified things. Yeah. A lot of people just, you know, have a stick up their arse about those remakes, but I think they're really, really fun and just a really good way to introduce people into Pokemon that have just got a Switch.
Or just that nostalgia factor.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, this is a game where it lets you carry, like, your Eevee, lets you sit on your head.
Yeah, your Eevee can sit on your head. You can ride a Snorlax by grabbing onto their belly as it waddles around town. It's like, what more do you want?
Exactly. Powerful.
And
see, that's what they could have had on the food team. They could have had Snorlax.
Yeah, that would be terrifying, though. What they should do is just, the trainer has a food team, and if you bring Snorlax against it, you just get the Insta badge.
It's like in like Snorlax in like Pokemon Unite. He runs faster when he's towards a berry. It's terrifying.
It's like, can you imagine just the food type trainers like, oh, go Vanillux, and you just send out Snorlax. Take the badge. Please don't eat my Pokemon. Like,
it's like the anime where it's like, oh, Snorlax fires hyper beams out of its eyes. And it's like the most terrifying thing it does, because it just sits up, opens its eyes, and lasers fly out and fucking obliterate everything, and it lies back down.
No. Is there anything more terrifying than when Snorlax uses pulverizing pancake?
Oh, yeah.
Just like, because it's that, it's exclusive, if anyone doesn't know it or doesn't remember. It was the Z-move exclusive to Snorlax, where the Snorlax lays down and then just like sits up a little bit, its eyes sparkle, and then it just launches into the air and just body slams you from like 1,000 feet up.
One of the single strongest Pokemon ever. It's just so ridiculously bulky. Snorlax is great.
Relax. Imagine combining Gigantamax Snorlax with that Z move.
It's great. Just Snorlax is one of my favourite Pokemon because it's just so fucking large and or in charge.
It is definitely in charge. And talking about Lance's personality here, yes. Lance is a very noble and respectful person. He is serious about his training, and he will not hold back his strength when it comes to battling any challenges, even though he literally got weaker between games.
And his children, and he's like, you know, fighting children.
He is an expert at training dragon Pokemon.
No, he's not! He's got one dragon!
one dragon type!
He's an expert in dragon type Pokemon. Why has he not got any then?
Literally, in Gen 2, he's an expert at training 50% of dragons. And he is extremely skilled at battling. He believes that his inner strength lies in his ability to professionally train dragons. One dragon. And he believes deeply in his Pokemon that they are strong and superior. Despite this, he is a good sport and will not become angry if he loses to the player character, but instead will gracefully accept defeat and happily congratulate them on defeating the Elite Four and becoming the new champion. And
it's like, congratulations to your Snorlax.
It is kind of just the way things have to be as a champion in those games, right? It's just, oh, well,
it's a job.
You kind of, yeah, your job is to go and get beaten by the next powerful trainer.
Yep.
And shout out to just Pokemon Sun and Moon and Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, I think they both do it, where when you get to the final battle of the Elite Four, if you've done it already, you're the one in the chair and a trainer approaches you for the battle.
Which I've always been annoyed that I never became like a recurring thing of like, now you get to challenge the champion. It's like, I'm the champion!
And
what it should be is, they should frame it as you're going back in. They're like, oh, hello, champion. Would you like to test your skills? Keep them sharp.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the one thing that they don't do in Sun and Moon is the Elite Four don't really acknowledge the champion. It just treats it like you're battling them again.
For the first time. Even though I'm like, this is the 14th time through I'm training up my Trevenant.
But I did really appreciate the fact that, yeah, you are the champion when it comes to the champion battle, and there's a variety of different trainers that will come and challenge you.
Yeah, I always thought when you're the champion as well, you should be like walking to the poker center and like, I am the champion, give me one poker hot dog. I demand one free hot dog every day.
Even though the Pokemon Center doesn't, you know, have hot dogs in there.
Fuck you, give me a hot dog.
Just hands over a Dax bun, like, I'm sorry.
Give me it. Give me my dog.
Oh,
man. You know, what a Don. Grow lands.
He is, and we're just getting on to the last little bit here. Just the the etymology, sorry. I always say entomology, but it's etymology.
Yeah, entomology is like bugs, right?
I don't know. I just accidentally say entomology all the time. But the name Lance is literally Lance, a weapon often used by knights who are often associated with fantasy and thus dragons. And obviously that's just the English variation. In Japanese, his name is Wataru, which comes from... It's just got the, you know, the symbols. Wataru is an uncommon way of saying to end in Japanese, as he's the final Elite Four member in Generations 1, 3, and 7, and the champion in Generations 2 and 4. The 3 and 7 gens must be just remakes of Gen 1, because you got Fire Red, Leaf Green, Let's Go Eevee and Pikachu, And then he's the champion in Gen 4?
It's fine. We don't remember these games. Not. Clearly, we don't remember these games as much as we thought.
Oh, Gold, Soul Silver. Yeah. That's a really confusing way of saying it. He's the final member of Elite Four in the first game.
Gen number.
And
just
he's
tell
the
what
champion
the game is.
In the second game, okay?
Yeah, tell them what the game is.
Yeah. And it may also come from Watatsumi, which is a dragon-like god in Shintoism. Following the plant-based naming of most characters, it could also come from Wata, the Japanese name for cotton. So, again...
My camera's done it again as well, by the way.
Oh, God. It's camera.
But now I'm back!
His camera's back. It's fine. But, that's just what, you know, Pokemon.fandom.com has written as, like, a couple of potential inspirations for his Japanese name. But
the English one's pretty obvious, right? Lance is like, it's the weapon used by knights, fire dragons. Done. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And just very funny that it's like, oh, well, Lance fights dragons, but like, Lance trains dragons, but lances are used to fight dragons. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
But that's
it's just the thing about he has mastery over dragons, right? What's one of the few things that can have a mastery over a dragon? A knight.
Mm-hmm. And often when I think of like dragon, and I think of like Final Fantasy and other RPGs with like dragoon class types where they often use lances. That's a lot of where my association with like dragons and lances comes in.
That's Rickard the Dragoon. They always do like the jump. It's like, whoa!
And
fuck you up.
I did forget that in Gold and Silver, Claire, who is a Blackthorn City's gym leader, who is a dragon type trainer, I forget that Claire is actually the cousin of Lance.
Yeah, she's related to him and she emulates his mannerisms, like the cape and stuff, right?
Then she cries when she loses. She emulates his appearance a little bit, but she's definitely a sore loser in comparison to Lance.
She cries when she loses and doesn't give you the gym badge.
She runs to like the cave behind and it's just like the dragon's den, just there, like, going, no, I'm not.
That's a really good
answer my
really
questions three, riddle DD. And it's like, fuck off, I beat you.
It's a really good tactic.
It's like, Misty thought that. Just cries.
Misty should have thought of doing that and say a bike back off Ash. Just don't give him his fucking gym badge.
And this is one thing that, you know, just I guess Lance missed the trick on is that Gen 2, you meet Lance in the Lake of Rage in Johto, and then he, like, you know, meets you and tells you about the Red Gyarados. And it's like, Team Rocket are fucking up the Lake of Rage and there's some weird red Gyarados in there. If I was Lance, I'd be all up in there like, look at that shiny. There's a shiny in the lake. I'm going to go get that.
But I do like that. So another thing as well, like they established that, hey, he's a champion, but by virtue of being the champion, he's one of the strongest trainers in like the region.
Mm-hmm.
When we need someone to go investigate shit, get him to do it.
Yeah.
because he's got the best Pokemon, so he's the most likely to be okay going to investigate this nonsense. That is a really crazy, powerful Gyarados in the middle of a lake. Who are we going to send in? One of the strongest trainers in the region. Get him to do it. Who knows more about dragons than the guy who's got like 19 Gyaradoses?
I'm just going to look up, because I'm curious.
Yes.
Like, what teams? Because there's the Pokemon tournament in Black and White 2, where you can fight like every previous gym leader and trainer and stuff.
And that's a feature they never should have taken out of Pokemon. It should have been a constantly recurring feature of every new game. Here is every previous gym leader in a tournament.
Yeah.
To keep bringing them back.
It's wild that they don't do that, but...
At the very least, do it with the classics. Like, do it with Red and Cynthia and Blue and Lance.
Yeah,
just pick like a handful of like other trainers who they could make teams with based on what Pokemon they have in that particular game.
So I don't. Yeah, it doesn't look like it's every single one here, but trying to just find like where Lance is in the list.
It's like it's one of my favorite little lines is when they announce that, and it's like Blue and Red are there, and it's Blue and Red are friends now.
Mm-hmm.
I always like that idea, like they're friends.
And like they're just chilling at the battle tree, just on vacation, like, hey,
yeah,
come and fight.
We thought we'd travel over, we had some strong trainers here, we're gonna chill.
So yeah, in the Pokemon World Tournament, Lance has what? A Salamence, a Kingdra, a Hydreigon, a Haxorus, a Flygon, and a Dragonite.
See, that's a fucking dragon team. So that's a dragon type trainer.
So he does actually eventually become the true dragon-type trainer.
That's a fucking dragon-type trainer.
God, that's a strong team if you're not prepared for it.
There's a lot of pseudo-legendaries on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's obviously in earlier gens, like dragons were basically just, fuck you, were meant to be the most powerful type.
It would be really funny, though, for that. He just had 6 Dragonites. I always thought like just they should have one trainer who just fucking like Joey should be like a joke trainer and he just has like 6 Rackets.
It's there's like always like a Fisher with 5 Magikarp, right?
Yeah. What about if he just got really locked in and ended up with 5 like Gyaradoses, right? If he did that, technically that guy could end up with 5 Gyaradoses.
Mm-hmm.
He could probably beat most gym leaders with 5 Gyaradoses just through sheer fucking just raw power.
And also the amount of versatility and power behind Gyarados, you could probably make 5 different Gyarados builds and just start sweeping people, yeah.
Just in the context of the universe he lives in, Gyarados is fucking big.
Yeah.
It's like it hits him.
I mean, just the moment you come up against the electric type trade, it's like, oh god, no.
Yeah. Well, don't go that part of the Pokemon world.
Oh, but anyway, I think that's a good place to leave it. It's just like... Letting everyone know that Lance actually reached his potential and became a true dragon type trainer at one point in his life.
It's like the Danny DeVito thing, is that I get it now. Where he just saw another dragon type and was like, wait, there's other dragon types?
What does he think when he's talking to Claire and she just sends out her Kingdra? He's like, wait, there's another dragon.
Yeah.
And I don't like, have it on my team.
He's probably in like the gym leader group chat getting fucking roasted all the time.
Dude's just a flying type trainer.
Like they have like, you know, it's like, oh, everyone has their nickname. His is like the dragon type trainer, and he fucking hates it. And every time he tries to change it, someone edits it straight back.
Oh, dear,
it's like Lance
dear.
Changed his name to the dragon type trainer. It got changed back to the flying type trainer. Lance has left the chat.
He tried. He didn't have much to deal with in the first 2 gens. Okay,
he didn't know. There was one
really
dragon.
Started putting dragons in Gen 3, really. But yeah, I mean, what a hero calling himself the dragon type trainer when
he's
got one. Oh dear. But Carl, before we get onto your wiki for this week,
yes.
I will need to just take a quick break and run the toilet.
No problem. I'll do the same thing. We'll return momentarily.
Oh, I'm enjoying just the picture of Big Tom. On our break screen right there. There's Tom, and then there's Big Tom.
That's what I'd call it. If I had a cat like that, I'd call it Big Tom.
Oh, just sit back in. Well, Carl, how
yes.
are we doing in terms of housekeeping for this week?
Well, there's not really much to housekeep, is there? So I guess like from next week onwards, so if you're listening to this the day or within a few days of it going live, hopefully everything Wiki Weekends in the back end will be back to normal from next week. So there's not much in that way of housekeeping for myself. Like, was your streaming schedule, do you think I'll be back to normal by next week, or does that need a bit more time for yourself, you feel?
Yeah, I just need a few more days to figure that out. I've got literal housekeeping to worry about at the moment.
On top of metaphorical, so I guess
yeah.
My only housekeeping will be to keep an eye on the Discord. That's the only thing I can really say, is go to the Discord, and myself and Lucas will try and keep people in the loop in regards to when streaming and stuff will be back on the menu, and also when content will be back to being recorded live and hopefully be going out more on time. Basically, everything's gone out on the right day, but maybe it's like, you know, there might be an hour or so where, you know, videos have not been going out exactly when they're supposed to. But
Most of them have. There was one time when you messaged me like, hey, it's been a couple of hours and is the video going up today? I was like, oh shit, I thought I'd scheduled that one.
Yeah, so, and then also have some announcements about updates to the Patreon, but we can't speak about those just yet because we're just waiting for things for both of us to be a bit more calm so that we can focus our efforts on them in their entirety. Exactly. I'd rather whole ass something.
Yeah, those are a couple of things that like Carl and I have discussed and kept on the back burner till things all back to normal, because it would be weird to like make changes to the channel just as things are going to get like, you know, just messed around with a little bit. It's better to just wait until things are solidified and back to normal, and then we can get some like updates and things going.
Yeah, karma for us in our personal lives, so again we can whole ass our stuff in our work life.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, housekeeping wise, just that, keep just watch this space.
Exactly, yeah. And obviously just a reminder to go and submit pets for Pet of the Week, and keep an eye on the Discord for which wiki won this week and stuff like that.
Try and challenge Tom's power.
Try. But no one was able to this week. Other than maybe just the furnishings on the sofa that are pushing Tom slowly off.
That's like, you know, like speaking of Pokemon, he's like the Snorlax.
It's true.
He can't get past him. It's like, oh, do you want to sit on the sofa? I can't.
The amount of times when like I physically have to pick up Cade or Oryx, because they're like, they do the classic thing of like sit in your warm spot the moment you move to go to the toilet or something. And then the amount of times they're just sat in the corner of the sofa like, nah, bro. It's like, you can do the whole thing where you like, you know, pretend to threaten to sit on them. And they're like, yeah, okay, let's see how this goes.
Yeah, RSPCA's on speed dial. Fuck you. I don't care.
Hopefully, Carl, we won't need the RSPCA for whatever wiki you've brought this week.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of segue that is. But yes, you know, while you've had the week off, I moved my PC into the other room so I could play some Hades 2. Because Hades 2 had a big update.
Oh, okay. So
Hades 2 is in early access, and it added the Olympian update, which added a new region and a couple of new interactions and gods.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought today we could talk about Zagreus, the protagonist of Hades 1, which I think, safe to say, probably a game myself and you have played collectively for hundreds of hours.
Yeah, I think I logged like a good 100 plus hours on the Switch version of Hades, yeah.
Yes, like very, very good game. And Hades 2, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit, as someone who played a lot of Hades 2, as someone who played a lot of Hades 1, the new mechanics are a little, like, you know, difficult to get to grips with. Also, I first went into it, man, this game's so hard. And I realised, no, because I'm playing with a base Melinoe when I'm used to playing Hades with like, just a max level Zagreus who has like four times the life bar and can dash three times and has like four death defiances. This is what if I replayed Hades 1 with a base Zagreus, I'd probably be having as much trouble because I'm so used to the amount of power he has.
I, in fact, did have that because it came to Xbox and Game Pass quite a while after it was on Switch. And I was like, oh, I'll just, you know, put it on the Xbox, boot that up there, see how it plays and stuff, and like played a few hours on there and just got my ass handed to me because I was just so used to having like 100 plus hours Zagreus just absolutely stonking. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And it's like, I would highly recommend for anyone out there who likes their roguelikes or likes Hades 1, go play Hades 2.
And fucking I would recommend phenomenal. Doing what I do of Cheers. Wait till games are in full release and not in early access.
The thing is, I was tempted, but then I saw one screenshot of like, this is what Melinoe looks like. I went, I need to play some fucking.
You see other people talking about it, it's like, oh.
And then people talking about the builds. And then as well, when they said, oh, in early access, Hades 2 is bigger than Hades 1. And you're like, fucking hell.
Yeah.
But either way, so Zagreus. What do you think of Zagreus as a character? I really, really like Zagreus as a character. He's very charming.
Zagreus is cool and charming, but then just kind of gets drowned out by how incredibly cool and sexy all the other characters are in Hades.
Well, that's one of the things I saw, like, in regards to Hades 2. It's like, move aside, bisexuals. Hades 2 is out. It's time for the bisexuals. Because the thing is, that means you won't have seen any of the new designs for the gods.
I have seen a couple.
Have you seen Dionysus?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so I'm going to send you it. You don't look it up.
Okay.
So you tell me what you think of Zagreus as a character. I get Dionysus. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly. Dionysus. Because the pronunciations
Dionysus,
I'm going to go by the Hades 2's one.
Dion Y size. We'll never know.
Pronounce it real bad, right?
Yeah, yeah. But no, I do like Zagreus. And I do really like the idea of just, I'm really bored of how boring this version of hell is. I'm just going to go break out.
Yeah. Also, I love the interpretation of hell in Hades, of it's just an endless bureaucracy. And Zagreus is like, oh, we want to undo Sisyphus's his punishment. Okay, yeah, it's in file. It's given another 1,000 years.
Yeah, what? Just Hades is sat at his desk with this giant mound of files. Like, son, fuck off. Give me a break. Look at this shit.
Yeah. But Lucas, you are not ready.
Oh my god.
That's a describe what you can see.
Fucking hell. But so this is just a chiseled man with some flowing grape hair and just a very, very bulging, pair of panther like plaid speedos. Just
he's wearing the leopard print speedo.
The leopard
he's
print,
clearly,
that's it, yeah.
He is packing the most amount of shmeat, the most godly of shmeat. Just why is they giving the biggest, most ridiculous dick bulge?
And then also, like, I love the fact that they, because he's got flowing purple, like, luscious hair.
Yeah.
But then the grapes and the leaves in there to make it look like his hair is like
is a bunch
this
of grapes.
Flowing. Just lock of grapes. It's like, it's so cool.
One of the designs in Hades are absolutely fucking top tier. Like,
some of the best character design artwork I've ever seen, yeah.
It's so strong. So emotive, so detailed.
And this is like, part of the reason that I didn't want to play Early Access, because I saw some people being, oh, hey, I encountered this new god and it's like placeholder art. I'm like, I can't play Hades that way. I need to see
all of these
dick bulges got.
Which is really funny because, like, most of the main cast are done. Like, Melanoe is done, like, Hecate is done.
Of course, yes. Yeah.
And there's a few people. The funniest one, though, is, and I didn't realise it was placeholder art, because you encounter Narcissus, the guy who fell in love with his own reflection because he's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And his art is a guy in a hood where you can't see his face, and that's the placeholder art for characters they've not finished yet. And I didn't realise, I thought, that's genius.
Also,
you don't actually get, he's hiding his face because he's so beautiful. And he's like, no, they just haven't finished it yet, but it looks really good of like this guy hiding his face.
Just for anyone watching video, I have just...
I think it's pronounced Dionysus.
In the middle.
Why is that cod piece so big? It looks like going, what was your favourite god design? I really liked Athena's.
Athena
was
really
real
cool.
Fucking good. With like the little owl, the owl theming.
Yeah, I really
or Zeus's
Artemis
and like his beard being clouds.
Yeah, that was super strong. Magerna as well. Again, I don't know if I'm pronouncing any right or
wrong. Is this the Fury Magerna?
Yeah, Magerna is it, yeah.
The Fury, yeah.
And just... The Artemis I thought was really cool as well.
Yes,
and
the Hunter.
What's the guy that? Oh, I can't think of. Is it Achilles?
Yes, is it your trainer? Yes,
yes, that's the one. Yeah,
your trainer Achilles.
Yeah, he's just got a really cool design as well. And
every single one is like money,
that's
right?
And Thanatos as well.
I don't think there's a single bad design in the entire game.
No, no.
I don't think there's a single bad character design. The
Even
only ones
Skelly.
I say are some... It, well, is the simplest one, right? I think the only ones I say
looks cool. Yeah,
yeah. And he's in, or he's actually, we don't know if it's him, but it was like the Skellimus. And he's like, just got, he's wearing a beard. He's so dumb. But so Zagreus is the prince of the underworld and the rebellious son of Hades. He is the older brother of Melanoe and the protagonist of Hades. He has always had a sense that he doesn't belong in the house of Hades after finding out the truth about his lineage. He decides to escape the underworld no matter what, going against his father's will. He is aided in his journey by his mentor Achilles and his caretaker Nyx, who puts him in contact with the Olympian gods, who grant him boons to make him more powerful during his escape attempts. And here's the thing about Hades of... the amount of build flexibility you can have is bordering on the ridiculous. But one of the other things is, I have never encountered a game, at least not like in recent memory, that takes into account every bit of dumb bullshit you can do.
Mm.
Every run I had of Hades, and I must have done hundreds of runs, I encountered a piece of dialogue I had never seen before.
Yeah,
it is ridiculous.
Wild.
Is there any like specific interactions or bits of dialogue that you recall? I know it's like might be a bit of an awkward question to recall. So
yeah, not particularly at this point because it's been so long. But you know, I put a lot of hours into that game, but I also put a lot of hours into that game a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Well, for example, one of the ones that gets just the fact that the game considers it is you have like your ultimate super move where if you get the super move of a god. You can like channel their power for like 5 seconds to a big burst of damage. And whenever you charge that up to full, you will get a little quote from said god. Like you'll get a voice line from that god.
Mm-hmm.
If you like call in like Poseidon, they'll say, "Look out, nephew." However, there is certain points in the game where you can anger the gods by picking a boon belonging to another god. If you happen to be in the situation where you have angered a specific god, what happens to have their call... and you use their call while they're mad at you, they will comment on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And they will be annoyed.
They'll be like annoyed that you're using their power against them.
Yes. And the fact they thought of that, which is a really rare occurrence to happen, but if it does, there's a voice line for it.
And also just the amount of lines per character that you can give gifts to.
Yep.
Where just, oh yeah, I've gone and given them a gift. And you think, like, they've already told me their story over, like, 10 playthroughs, they've had loads of dialogue already throughout the game, I've given them a gift or two, that's probably it, and just every time you give them a gift, there's like more and more and more and more.
Yep.
And I've never really noticed, I might have exhausted some dialogues, but I've never noticed that I ever have.
Because there's always at least one new piece of dialogue per run.
Which is just wild.
Like I said, the update they did for Hades 2, like the Olympian update, said we're going to add like, you know, a new arena, we're going to fix some of the stuff, like, you know, some of those unfinished character models got finished. Also, we added in 2,000 lines of dialogue. On top of like the 20,000 lines of dialogue that already exists in the game.
God.
And they said, oh, by next year the game's going to be twice as big. Mm-hmm. It's going to be
and it's like,
fucking ridiculous.
Always feels to me like the way that Binding of Isaac is really expansive in just the amount of items that you can get combined with each other, mechanics-wise, yeah. That feels like it with just dialogue alone in Hades.
It's actually ridiculous. Like I said, the fact that every single combination of things that can happen in the game, there is unique dialogue for it. For example, if you go through the entire game and specifically sell every single one of your upgrades... so that you challenge the final boss without any upgrades, there is dialogue for that. Likewise, if you beat the game on the first run, which is near impossible for a first-time player, there is unique dialogue for that.
Of course there is, yeah. It's like, for example, it kind of reminds me of when I found out that like in Dark Souls, they have things put in place for if you defeat the boss that's meant to be like the unkillable boss that kills you immediately.
Yeah, you get bonuses for it, but it's like, that's one thing in one game. This is an entire game built around that concept. It's fucking wild. Like I said, even just the fact that every boss has a unique response after you've done like 10, 15 runs. They start commenting not so much on the fact you're there, on like whatever weapon you're holding.
The mechanics of it,
yeah. So, for example, when you challenge, like, the first boss, which is, like, your tutor, like, his training, she has a unique line of dialogue for not only every weapon, but also for every aspect of every weapon, because every weapon has three aspects.
Hmm.
So you can have, like, which is the three different ways it can work. So there's in total, like, 20 different weapons. So she has 20, every boss has individually 20 different lines of dialogue, specifically his comment, whatever weapon you're using. And then each weapon can also have a potentially a combination of 8 different boons from the gods affecting how they function.
And they also which can have also potentially numerous upon. Different dialogues for defeating you.
Defeating you, yes. Or if you lose to them, or they beat you, and depending on how many times you beat, it's actually ridiculous.
Yes, like, the amount of times where I'll go into a fight against Meg, and it's like the 50th time I've defeated Meg plus, yep. And then she'll just throw a new line in there. It's like, okay, sure. And that doesn't happen every single time, because she's the first boss of the four. Like, you're constantly, by late fighting game, her. Defeating her over and over, or her sisters. And it's like, but the fact there's three different Fiories, and each of them have, like, slightly different moveset, slightly different voice lines and stuff. And you can, as I say, be, like, 50 runs in, and they'll throw a new line at you.
Every now and again, yeah. Depending on, like, you know, and it encourages you to play differently. Like, you could realistically go through using the same weapon and combination every single time.
Yeah.
But you're encouraged to not do that just by virtue of the fact that, hey, all these really great, well-written characters with fantastic fucking designs might comment on the fact you decide to play through with this different weapon or to, you know, take a different path.
And
like, what I found recently is one of the things you do is you get, like, a dress, which is like your armor, and when it breaks, the dress breaks. And I managed to keep hold of that through the first region to a boss in the second region, and they comment on the fact I was wearing it. And then the second time I did that, they went, oh, now you're trying to show off then. I'm like, wait, what? They come on the fact I wore it twice, but I was wearing a different colour one. They went, ooh, look at you, little Miss Fancy Pants, with your different colour dresses. All right, we get it. It's like, what?
Man.
Fantastic.
And, yeah, like, I do love that kind of stuff. I do, with this, like, you know, whole thing about roguelites, the one thing that kind of can not necessarily ruin the experience, but, like, dampen it a little bit for me is when I do find those kind of game-breaking-esque builds, though, where I think it was something to do with, like, specifically if you have, like, a combo of Artemis and Zeus and then get, like, the unique combo perk that is from those two. That was
There's a couple of
OP one that just I was like, well, I feel weaker every single time I don't use that ability.
And there's a couple in, like, Hades 2 that are, like, just ridiculously strong, but one of the things I've appreciated is they've balanced some stuff. And, like, for example, one of the weapons, you throw daggers, and they realise that the absolute number one with a bullet best ability to pick with that is the one where your daggers deflect back to you, because it effectively doubles your damage for every single attack. So they went, well, everyone's just picking this because there's no reason not to pick it. Effectively, it doubles your damage.
Yeah.
So we just made that now a default ability of the weapon.
Oh, that's cool.
And now your weapon, and they look at other weapons, okay, this one's not being picked much, it's not popular, its damage is not very good. And so they're tweaking stuff in real time.
I will say, as much as I'm a person that likes to wait for 1.0 release, like, final, you know,
this initial feels like release, a full game.
I love the fact that there are people out there who are playing the early access, and that the developers are doing so much like they did with the first Hades with early access, so that the game can be so polished by the time that it initially launches.
And I wouldn't normally, like, play a game in early access, but the company who make this game have 100% earned basically unlimited goodwill from me.
Yeah.
Because they made Hades 1, it was one of the single most polished experiences I've ever had.
Well, Supergiant also made Pyre, Transistor, and Bastion. And it's like
one of the most rock solid fucking resumes of a company. They have 100% earned the 20 quid I spent on the game, which I played for like 100 hours in the first five days.
It really does feel like Hades was the culmination of them spending 10 plus years releasing these, like, stellar indie games that got really good critical reception, but, you know, didn't necessarily pop off and weren't as huge and were kind of like a bit more, like, smaller but excellent experiences. And then Hades came out, and it was, okay, this is like the dozen year overnight success.
Yeah. is they have 100% earned any amount of goodwill from myself, and I will give them the most benefit of the doubt because I trust them implicitly to make a good game. Because like when they say, hey, this game's not finished yet and it is more polished than fucking Pokemon, for example, when I was...
Is that really difficult?
Well, that's that, yeah, like a $1 billion company releasing a game that cost me 60 quid. And they were, this is 20 quid. And they're on the thing saying, it's not finished yet. And there's more polish on this unfinished game that they openly admit is not finished. And really, like I said, a couple days ago, released a massive update for, which added as much content as some games would charge DLC for.
Yeah.
For free. Well, not for free, but obviously, like, you know, on top of... I bought a game
included in the price that you paid for, yeah.
Yes, and the understanding would be that, you know, some elements aren't finished and some things will change.
And of course, you do get the game at a discounted rate for joining in early access. They will likely increase the price when the game comes out at launch. And even if you don't want to necessarily play it now, even if you go give them your money now, you can get the game at launch for cheaper than you probably would when, you know, if you wait like I will.
Lucas, I'm going to just try and convince you now. So, do you know, like, in Hades 2? Or in Hades 1? Like when you...
I don't know what you're trying to convince me of, because I don't think my PC could play it.
So, do you, like, when you're talking to someone, and, like, you know, you gift and you become friends with them, there is a new system in this game, where once you get to a certain point of a relationship with someone, you get to go to the hot springs with them.
I mean...
And they have unique artwork for every character.
Oh, God, is that where the diocese is? No, that's just him rolling around party boy partying.
Yeah. That's just how he looks. That's how he rolls.
Just a reminder for everyone watching the video version. They have regular outfit.
Yeah, that's just how he rolls, man. He's the god of wine. Well, they have unique artwork for every character of them just in hot tub mode.
Like, what does this guy look like in hot tub mode?
He's already in hot tub mode.
He's always in hot tub mode. He's always ready for the hot tub.
Yep. That's convincing, yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. When I say I don't know if my PC could run it, like, I'm still clocking at, like, 1060 as my graphics card. Like, I have an editor's PC, so I need, like, RAM and CPU and stuff. Like,
yeah.
My graphics card, I don't feel the need to, like, really improve because I don't really game on my PC. And, like, I don't have a Steam Deck because I haven't spent, like, the last 50 hours telling you I've got a Steam Deck, so...
Yep.
Yeah, I just don't have any way of playing it, and also I would like to... I generally just prefer to wait until games are...
Yeah, it's that thing of... Anyway. So the only reason I got it is because I think I had, like, a couple days off, and when the only one I took a few days off is to play a game. Mm-hmm. I want a new game to play in, like, the time I've got off when I'm not, like, going out and seeing people. And I just saw Hades 2 was there, and 100% worth it. You know, getting back to Zagreus. So Zagreus is the rebellious son of Hades. Despite being born in the underworld, unlike most residents of the House of Hades, he's laid back and characterized by his good humor, kindness, and tireless persistence. Although friendly, he's also restless, reckless, and stubborn, which often complicates his relationships. And he has, in particular, two relationships that are worth noting. And they are one with Thanatos, the god of death, and Megara, the fury, who you can enter into a thruple with.
Oh, can you?
Yeah. Oh. You can date both of them simultaneously. One of my favourite lines in the entire game is where Zagreus, he's like, because he's very mortal, that's his whole thing. He has a very human, mortal approach to things. When, like, okay, you're dating Megara, and then you date Thanatos, and they have a moment where they both confront you. And, like, you think, oh, no, I've got to pick one. And then Megara's like, have you any idea how fucking long gods live for? I don't give a shit. You know, we can all just be a couple together, right?
I mean, it's the opposite of the Mass Effect seed, isn't it?
Where they force you to pick.
Well, in Mass Effect 1, there's a moment where I think Ashley and...
Liara.
Both get mad at you for flirting with the other one. Like, Shepard, what are you going to do about this? And there's just the one option to be like, how about we all get together?
And you know what? That's an option you have in Hades, and it works.
It doesn't work in Mass Effect, I'll tell you.
It does
you
not
that
work
much.
In Mass Effect. But that's the thing, Zagreus, though, has fucking Riz. He's, the guy's got charisma off the charts.
So that's the thing, in most scenes, Shepard's got Riz, but, like, in that scene, Shepard just falls apart.
Yep.
Shepard just is awful in that moment. No Riz at all.
No. Like, negative race. But he does mention that the young prince is notably forgiving and friendly with all residents of the House of Hades and the peaceful inhabitants of the underworld, forming firm and fast friendships with most everyone that he meets. Which is one of the things, like, just the... He's just a really nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's friends with everyone. And same thing like Melanoe, where she's more innocent, and it's her naivety.
Right.
That, like, makes people want to help her and deal with her, like, instead of Achilles in this one, it's Odysseus. And there's a great moment where you're talking to Odysseus, like when you're doing his hot tub scene, where you're talking to him and he's like, yeah, you've been on a grand adventure. Oh, my camera's gone again, has it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, either way, I'll keep talking. Well, you're talking to Odysseus, like, you've been on a grand adventure traveling all across the underworld. He's probably going to write stories about this. There needs to be a word for that. And you're talking to Odysseus. He's like, there should be a word for a grand adventure told in tale. And it's like, huh. What about an Odyssey? And it's like, no, that's not right. That's not right.
Not yet, no.
I guess I'm just frozen in place like Tom. Replace me with Tom. Go for it. You're after, but...
I mean, yeah, like, there's something I'm replacing you with, Carl, don't worry. Well, Carl is back, and unfortunately, I had left a very flattering image there for you, Carl, but Carl is back.
Was it Dionysus?
It was, yeah.
Okay.
Of course it was.
By the sounds of it, the internet does not want us to keep making this video. Like, there's too much horny on screen right now. So, I guess I'll close off with some trivia about Mr. Zagreus now. So, the trivia we have here is, according to initial design docs for Zagreus, he appears 22 and his tone is a reference to... Oh, his tone, presumably skin tone, is
maybe,
Tom Hiddleston
yeah.
as Loki in Thor. He's quite pale.
Yeah, yeah.
And Loki, I can see that. Other visual and tonal references include Alucard from the Castlevania series, Spike Spiegel, from Cowboy Bebop, Dante from Devil May Cry, and Dread Pirate Roberts from The Princess Bride.
I mean, that is a litany of different attractive characters right there.
It is. There are some very fuckable guys there. Zagreus' accent is meant to be, quote-unquote, fantasy British, a la Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
So think of like that kind, just if you're going to watch a Lord of the Rings movie, everyone speaks with this pseudo-fancy British accent that doesn't really exist.
Mm-hmm.
Artemis notes that Zagreus' name means great hunter.
Hmm.
If the player goes through the polyamory route, Zagreus can enter into a V relationship with Megara the Fury and Thanatos the God of Death. A V relationship, for anyone who doesn't know, is one where a person is dating two other people, but the latters are not romantically or sexually involved in any way.
Right.
Although you can have a threesome with them.
I mean, that doesn't romantically invested, you know, with one another, right?
I think they just both like just beat the shit out of Zagreus' balls. Because, like, I think when you enter in, when you have, like, one of the...
Why would you say that?
No, because when you have one of the romance scenes with Megara, when you go fight her again, he's like, please don't be as bad as you were earlier today. And she's like, don't you fucking tell me what to do. There's a little hint to Zagreus' personality here. Upon catching a Flame Eater, because there's a fishing fucking minigame in Hades.
Of course, yeah.
Zagreus may occasionally sing its name in the tone of Snake Eater from Metal Gear Solid 3. There's a bunch of like little references like that. As I said, what was it now? God. Athena. She has like a little owl.
Yes,
like Bubo from Clash of the Titans.
Oh, okay, yeah.
A little reference to that. There's like an owl theme there. And Ares has a Spartan shield with the Spartan symbol on that. Presumably a nod to both the Spartan, for, like, you know, 300 Spartans in media, as well as God of War, because he is technically the God of War.
Yeah. True. But have you got, like... We talked about, like, favourite gods. Have you got, like, a favourite... like weapon or weapon aspect or anything that you like to use with Zagreus?
It's aspect of Lucifer.
Which one's that one?
It's the laser cannon.
Oh, right, okay.
Like, hey, Lucifer, like one of the, even though it's like essentially set within the Greek pantheon, one of the things you can encounter are weapons, like the legendary like versions of your weapons are people from other pantheons or legends and myth from other regions of the world. Like, for example, you get like the aspects of Gilgamesh. And when you go talk to someone about it, it's like, oh, it's I don't know how I got this, but it's like this legendary hero king. And with like the Lucifer one, it's like the idea that Satan exists in the Hades universe means that we might get aspects of Jesus.
Oh my God.
Melena, we might get aspects of Jesus.
That'd be dope. Like, I did find it really weird when it's like, you get, you know, the classic, you get like sword and shield or yep. Or just a shield, is it? I can't remember. Yep. You get like the big sword, you get a bow and arrow, you get a rail gun. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah. The worst bit is as well, that rail gun, the person who had it, or someone's now stolen that and they use it against you, and it's fucking rough. God. One of the bosses has that, and it's real bad. So it's not that bad, is it? And then but they have like the upgrades for it where you do the quadruple bomb into the air. It's like, how the fuck do I dodge this? So that's how it feels.
I do like that. I do like the idea when like roguelikes turn it around on you. It's like,
yeah,
this is what it feels like to be against the player character. And that's this is what you've like been doing to us the entire time.
So I like that one just because I like the idea of I'm wielding Satan's laser gun. But I think my favourite weapon I like to use is a bow and arrow because I like that if you got to have perfect timing to get power shots. Mm. And it was really, you got into a really satisfying loop of like dash, power shot, dash, power shot, dash, power shot. If you got into a really solid loop of that, it felt very satisfying.
See, I always love the spread shot on the arrows.
Yes.
Where you get the ones where you like get it up to like 12 different arrows in the close range shot.
But I always liked if you got like the Daedalus hammer, where if you hit someone, it's like, oh, now they all home in on whoever you shot first.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just something about when you get like the boons that cause, oh, for every time you land a hit, you proc like one instance of this curse. It's like, oh, but I shot 12 arrows at them at the same time and they just get inflicted like 12. They just get proc like 12 bits of poison at the same time and just, ugh.
Yeah.
Yep. So, got a favourite weapon though?
I go back and forth because I, for a long time, was like, oh, well, I don't think I'll really enjoy the bow and arrow because, like, again, it kind of makes you think that it's going to prioritize the power shot all the time. But then when you get the spread shot buffed up, it's, like, super fun. And then I did have a surprising amount of fun with the railgun as well.
The railgun's really interesting. It's like some of the weapons absolutely just live and breathe by what Daedalus hammers you get.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same with like Hades 2, where some of the weapons are just really fucking rock solid.
Mm.
They're just super good from like second one, but other ones, like, you've got to work for it. But yeah. I like that. Like, some of them feel underpowered until you get the very specific build.
Until you like unlock the right thing, yeah.
Yeah, and then you go, oh, this is why it has to be underpowered, because if it was super powerful from second one and you got this, you'd be unstoppable.
Yeah, because like...
But that just encourages more exploration.
The sword is fun, and I like the builds where you just do, like, the heavy attack with the sword and just, like, dash, heavy attack, dash, heavy attack, dash, heavy attack.
And they have the equivalent in this game as well. I won't spoil any of the weapons, but they do have a couple of interesting weapons, and Melena is a witch, so she's, like, more magic and ranged base.
Yeah.
Which allowed them to create some more interesting weapons.
I was a big fan of the fact that in Hades it surprised me where... Each new weapon, when I thought I wouldn't enjoy it, I found different ways to find the fun.
Yeah,
it's and like just the game really incentivizes you to try each one, and the fact that you get like the random weapon that's going to give you like extra, extra whatever the like bonuses are and stuff, all the like crystals or whatever.
It's also one of the things that makes it
fun. If
you
use this weapon, you'll get bonus this run. It's like, okay, I'll use that one and try something then.
And then as well, like, the whole idea of it encourages you, or makes you want to, if you like, you know, this game scratches a very specific itch for me, which is, I want to see the numbers go up.
Mm-hmm.
But I also like, okay, I did one run with, like, you know, the sword, and I went for all Zeus boons. Now let's try and do a run where I get as many Athena boons as I can.
Yeah, yeah.
Experiment, see what I get.
And I think it's one of those games where I kind of wish that I hadn't, like, gone to the wiki at any point. Because then I'm specifically looking for certain combos, and it's like...
That's the problem, right? So I've tried to avoid that as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when they released the new update, which has new gods in it, I was like, I'm not going to look at what they do.
And admittedly, I looked that up when I was 50-plus hours into the game. Yeah. So it was just like, oh, okay, I'm feeling like I'm not getting much anymore in terms of different builds and stuff and getting more powerful, so I'll have a look at what I'm missing.
Because with the amount of stuff that's in the game, there are some where it's like, oh, legendary like or combo boons, where you can only get it if you have a certain combination of things.
Mm-hmm.
It's just helpful to know, okay, what combination do I need to proc this?
Yeah, and
which could be handy.
Again, where just it opened up a lot of build crafting, but also made it annoying at times, because the amount of times where I'd be sitting there going, ah, oh, but I kind of wish that I just had like the Artemis Zeus combo boom, because that was super OP.
Yeah, there's one in this game that is actually just busted on certain builds.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't sound that busted, and it's just, okay, when you get this certain combination of boons, which takes ages to get, every bit of damage you can do has to do at least 30 points of damage. Which doesn't sound that much when you're doing, like, you know, if you've got, say, like, the big burst damage weapon.
But if you're doing, like, really fast, short, small attacks.
Or you've got, like, it applies to everything. Like, your cursors. Like, one of your cursors you can get is, like, oh, it just does one pip of damage for every time you lock this onto someone. Now that now does 30 points of damage. You've literally times the amount of damage that that particular aspect of your moveset does by 30.
Mm-hmm.
And just like that one, but on like another build, that'd be useless. But on some, that is fucking busted.
Yeah, because on a build where you're doing like slow, big attacks and every attack was doing 100 anyway, what's the point?
Yeah, but when you've got like the really rapid fire attacks, and you also got your rapid fire attacks are also causing more rapid fire attacks and explosions and multiple different status effects, and now every single one of those does at least 30 damage.
Yeah.
It's so fun. But that's the thing, there's so many things like that. Also, you have a pet frog that can block rocket launchers.
Nice.
Because like you've got a little pet frog that follows you around, and it can just absorb any hit. That's its thing.
Okay.
And I didn't realise that, because it just hops around doing whatever it needs to do. But like that boss who has like the rail gun, I just sat behind my frog and they shot the frog at it, and they went, damn frog, and then the frog jumped him and killed him. He got the final hit, and I was like, you know what, you go Freenos, you do it.
Okay.
So you can frog.
But dear. Yeah, I think before Carl cuts out again, it's a good place to leave it there.
It is indeed, yes. So thank you to everyone watching at home. See you all next time.
I'll see you when the deadly frog rises once again.
It's so powerful, Lucas. Le frog.